580 KIDO, Treasure Valley Water Users Association. Roger Batt with us here as we continue to go on. I still can't understand it, and we've talked about this usually in the summer, that how could the state look at people? Now, you want to have a march. You can have a march on guns. You can have a march on health care. But when the lawns go, I mean, there's going to be outrage, and let's hope that doesn't happen. How can the state publicly say, and maybe, Roger, they're not counting on you getting the word out, whether it's here or Channel 7 or in the newspaper, where, you know, they could look at thousands of people descending on the Capitol going, my lawn is brown, and we have more water than we know what to do with.
Right, exactly, Kevin. I mean, you know, once you think about this, the way we look at this is how can irrigation water that's never but, you know, been put on any kind of cropland or yard or pasture, garden, soccer field, et cetera, how can that be considered as water that's been used up? I mean, Idaho water law basically says that in order to satisfy a water right, it has to be put to some kind of beneficial use. Well, under Idaho water law, flood control releases are not considered a beneficial use, so they don't satisfy a water right. So how can the state of Idaho even take that position to begin with?
Well, and then you take a look at our football fields, our soccer fields, baseball, and the like. How do we beat the odds here? I once was in, and not to name drop, so I'm going to give the disclaimer here. It was a crazy thing. It was 2 years ago. I'm at CNN in Washington, D.C. with Senator Risch, who was very kind enough to take me in when he did an appearance with Wolf Blitzer. So Jeffrey Toobin is in there, Toobin. And Senator Risch is telling him about irrigation, telling him about potatoes, telling him about our system here. And how do we beat the odds? I mean, we're in the Mountain West, we're in a desert, and yet we have green lawns. Right. How amazing is it that that happens?
It really is. You know, the fact that we have all these reservoirs, we're able to divert irrigation water to our yards, gardens, our croplands, and our pastures. You know, it's the reason why people live here, really, I mean, for the most part, other than the fact it's just a beautiful place. It's the reason why global seed companies are here. You know, this is one of five major seed production areas globally. I mean, it's the reason why we have so much production. It's the reason why we produce over 170 different commodities in this valley.
Amazing when you think about that, and that could all go away. Now, when we talk about junior rights holders, what does that entail as opposed to senior right holders? Are we talking about new subdivisions versus old subdivisions, new businesses, new versus old businesses? How is that defined?
Right. So senior water rights mainly are with our irrigation delivery system. So we have Arrow Rock Reservoir has a 1911 right. You have Anderson Ranch has a 1950 right. You have Lucky Peak has a 1963 right, and there are other water rights that have been decreed that date back to the 1800s, Kevin, here. So those are all senior water rights, really. Anybody that comes in and receives a newer water right, say a 2015, 2016, 2017 water right, that would be considered a new or junior water right, too, though. So the senior water users would have first priority over junior water right holders.
So in other words, that would be new homes and such?
They would be. It would be new growth, unless there was a water right that already existed on that property from a long time ago. That would be carried over.
So where do we go from here? And you believe the arguments will start in the Supreme Court coming up in September?
Yeah, well, we believe the arguments, actually the briefings are due tomorrow to go to the Supreme Court, and we are thinking, we don't really know anything yet, we're thinking we're going to have a hearing sometime this fall, according to our attorneys.
Now, and for people that are just tuning in, new to the program, you've gone to the legislature, you've gone to the governor. What's been their reaction?
Yes, so in 2015, we brought this issue forward to the Idaho legislature. We had 71 people who were willing to co-sponsor a piece of legislation. That's out of 105, we had 71 people. We had three people at that time block us from having a hearing. They were key people in the legislature who there was a Basin 1 issue, and they thought that our legislation would somehow impact the upper Snake. So they didn't even give us a hearing, didn't give us due process. So we obviously complained about that quite a bit in the media, Kevin, and our voices were heard quite well on that. I think a lot of bridges have been mended since then. We did meet with the governor's office on this. The governor's basically told our irrigators during that time that he is sympathetic to this issue. He's going to wait to see what the courts decide to do.